station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
On December 31st at 11:59 p.m., you resolved to give up fatty foods. But by 12:11 a.m. on January 1st, you're elbow deep in a bowl of cheese curls.
Way to go, that lasted 12 whole minutes.
You also swore to give up drinking. But then again, you had a few beers in you when you made that resolution, so nobody can really hold you to that one.
Who's ready for another cold one?
And you bum cigarettes even though you quit.
I guess you just gave up buying them, yeah.
So this January, while you're on the Stairmaster, perspiring like a pig, while craving a beer, a butt, and a bag of pork rinds, raise your underarm sweat stain in salute to Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker, a real American hero.
Mr. New Year's Resolution Breaker.
I resolve to stop saluting people who don't deserve it.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, January 4th. I'm still sounding sick. But I'm here. Good morning, Tara. Good morning, Tara.
Get your co-host name right.
What's happening to me with all those names, man?
I know. It's like
it's hard to keep all the names together in my head.
Well, I've only been here almost a year,
Sam. No, but I talk to so many people every day that it's hard to keep all the names.
That's what important people do to get out of crap like that. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Just
imagine we have over 80 hosts here.
You're just one of the other 80,000 people I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good morning, Kara.
Thank you. With a what?
With a K.
Thank you.
Kara with a K. Remember that. KK. One more K. If you had a middle name with a K,
it would not be good.
You would not be...
You know, it's funny. My friend, her initials are KKK.
Really?
She's like her parents, they just weren't thinking.
Yeah, I guess not.
They just thought it was sweet.
Yeah.
So she doesn't tell anybody her middle name.
Really?
Yeah, because it's K-A-Y.
Yeah.
Is her middle name. K.
Oh, K-A-Y? I thought K-Y. Okay. Oh. Very funny, right?
What do you think of those KY commercials?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That's pretty funny, huh?
I feel like it's just an interesting. It's funny. It is funny actually. I laugh at a few of them, but I kind of feel like they're not sexy.
Mm.
It's like very functional. It's like, hey, we're just having some issues. We're just tired or busy or just not into it. So can we use it? Hey, this lube changed my life. It created a weird, minty, tingling, scary sensation, and it gave me what I needed.
Yeah.
I don't have to feel anything for this person.
I know. It's unfortunate, you know, because you want natural lube there. I think that works much better.
Just the word lube. How nasty is that word sound? Lube.
Everything sounds nasty to you.
No,
because
but come
you can't
on.
Think of that general area.
Whatever, I think about it. But the word lube. Lube.
Lube me up. So today we're going to... Hold on a second. We have a phone call. It's probably a wrong number, but let's find out
Ring
anyway.
In the air.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kara. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for Mother Lover Kennedy.
Okay, you're calling the wrong number, sir. You called into the studio.
I apologize.
Okay, just go ahead and email them. There's an email on the website.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, I told you, it's a wrong fucking number, man.
Well,
that's why I try not to answer these phones, man. What the fuck kind of calls do we get?
I think it's hysterical.
Yeah.
I think it's hysterical.
Yeah, but we are going to have an author calling in a few minutes. The book is Christianity, Myths, and Legends. And I started reading that, and I actually like the way that he analyzes things and shows you all the inconsistencies and everything in the Bible. So we're going to talk to him.
Sounds like a real, real genius.
Why?
I was just making a joke.
No, I know, but you're already cutting him down. You haven't heard what he has
to say. Oh,
that's
what I do.
Okay, well.
It's a joke. I'm not going to get angry. I think
it's not about anger.
I know you're already setting it up, though. Like, hey, Kara, look at this book. Hey,
yeah,
Kara.
Yeah, well, you're going to love this.
You're already fueling the flames. I'm just playing into it. I'm not going to be upset. The dude's doing his thing. I'm sure a lot of people will like it, and they'll go to hell
for
it.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too, yeah.
joking. Anyway,
no, I've been doing a lot of reading on this stuff, actually. I have I'm reading a thriller that deals with all these things, with God, with religion, with science. It's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's called The Einstein Enigma. So if someone likes those kind of books, man, it'll teach you everything you want to know about physics, religion.
Everything you want to know.
Everything
you want to know.
It'll
know
get you
it
thinking,
first.
Man. It'll get you thinking.
Well, you start coming up with your new book then.
Yeah.
About how you knew it first.
No, I don't think I knew it first, but I have my own opinions. What the hell? You know? I mean, I like I said, my opinion is basically I believe there's a intelligent force.
Yeah.
I call him God.
Yep.
But I don't accept any of the Bible and all these cockamamie stories in the Bible that mean nothing to me, and they're simply tales of people that didn't know any better.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you check it out, you'll see all these stories, man. They're for people that are not very sophisticated, and people that use. You gotta remember something. The times when the Bible was written, that's when people thought the Earth was flat and that the sun was going around the sun. This is how intelligent they were.
Okay.
So, you know.
You've got it all figured out.
I do.
You come out with your book soon. I'm sure you'll get a lot of people buying it.
Yeah. There you go.
You know.
Our devout Christian here.
Well.
We'll show you. We'll show you how everything that you believe in is a myth.
Oh, really? Because I've never cross-referenced anything. I don't have my own independent thought. I've never actually researched any of it. I just blindly believe.
No. We'll see. We're gonna go over the story of Genesis. You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. You'll be hard-pressed to come up with some answers. But
well, I mean,
since you're the spokesperson for God...
I'm not. I think it's funny that because I sit here and I'm an open Christian, it doesn't mean that I know it all. That doesn't mean that I have it all together. Unlike you, I don't claim to call everybody that doesn't believe an idiot. You know what I mean?
Is that what I said?
Well, you said it's for people that are like, you know, basically they can't think on their own.
No, that's not what I said. I said it was written by people...
For people that what?
I see. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that.
I'm just saying the view that you have or that this guy has or the view that you're subscribing to, or maybe it's your own independent view. I don't even know.
Right.
What you're saying is that the people that of faith that do believe this are X, Y, and Z. And I'm saying, unlike you, I'm not saying that people that don't believe are X, Y, and Z. It's a deeper issue. It's a faith issue. And there's going to be things that you hit walls and you go, you know what? Do I have faith here or do I think it's stupid?
Right.
And I accept that. I mean, there's going to be areas of my life, the things I believe that are... And the Bible says this is foolishness to the world. It looks like foolishness.
Obviously.
Yeah. But there's no secret to it. I mean, there's no like... I'm not... And the thing about being a believer and following Christ requires meekness and humility. And guess what? Those are things that are not... they are not valued in this world. People want winners and they want strength. So there comes a time in your walk in your life, in your Christian walk, where guess what? You're just going to look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Buckle up. Either you really believe it and you get to stand alone in the face of adversity and you're going to believe what you believe.
Right.
Or you know what? You're going to succumb to the fact that, you know what? I look like an idiot.
Yeah, there you go.
but either way, it's a mix of evidence. It's a mix of history, and it's a mix of, you know, your heart, and a mix of faith and spirituality.
Faith, that's the bottom line. It's blind faith, and that's what it is.
Well, it's not blind if you take... It's just like...
And I think God gave us the brain to think.
It's not blind. When you take all different components, and then you mix it in with your personal experiences, It's a combination of a lot of reasons why you believe.
But it is blind because you haven't been able to prove anything that's in the Bible.
There's a lot of stuff that's been proven. There's tons of prophecies. There's tons of things that have been proven. But the reality is, it's not ever going to be enough because it's never going to be enough. Because you know what? The reality is people want to taste, touch, see, smell, and feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do all that, if you can't wrap your whole brain, your whole mind, your whole everything around it,
right,
and understand it from the inside out, it challenges people to where they're like, you know what? It's not enough for me.
Yeah.
It's not enough for me. And that's a heart issue, and that's a faith issue. And those things you can discuss, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's extremely personal as far as believing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But then you have to remember that it is believing, it is faith, and it's not based on any fact. It's based on faith.
Listen, there's a lot of historical evidence that supports it. There's a lot of evidence.
There's a lot of historical contradictions as well.
Absolutely, but I'm just saying it's not like these were just, these are just stories that there's nothing. There's tons of evidence. There's tons of historical movements that support it.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
There's not.
I'm sorry, that's true.
What evidence do you have about...
We know about
Adam and Eve and
Josephus,
bullshit,
for example, Jesus, we know that he walked the earth. Whether or not you believe he was the Son of God, that's not proven. Whether or not he ascended into heaven and you know, or went, you know, crucified and resurrected,
right,
that is not proven.
Right.
We know historical evidence that there's evidence to support his movement. There's evidence that shows historically the change that he had on the cultural climate, things of that nature. We know that happened.
But everything that was written about him was after he died.
Well,
none of the Bible was written when it happened.
First of all, actually, the first gospel, one of the first gospels written was started to record only 5 years after his crucifixion and resurrection, which is way
Which one is that? Which gospel is
I don't
that?
Exactly know which gospel.
Okay,
there's
because
four.
Apparently, according to Stan, who we're going to talk with in a few minutes, he claims that that probably all the Gospels, most of them, if not all, were written by Paul, who lived 300 years later or something, or 100 years later, I'm not sure.
No, he did not live 300 years later than the apostles.
No, when did Paul live? When did he write all this stuff?
If you read the Bible and you look at the different accounts, okay, Paul, and he wasn't part of the Gospels, as far as the Gospels are four different accounts.
Right.
From some of the same stories from four different points of view.
Right. But there are like over 20 books in the New Testament.
Yeah, but
right?
We're talking about the Gospels. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
No, I'm talking about the New Testament.
Yeah, but you said the Gospel. Yeah. We're talking about...
Okay, the Gospels.
The Gospels are eyewitness accounts.
Right.
Okay, four different points of view.
But there were never... None of these... Well, okay.
Those people were there.
Okay.
Paul was not. Okay. He was not there at the crucifixion and resurrection.
Right.
He had his own spiritual journey and experience. And later, his life, you know, overlapped some of the disciples. So, you know, the reality is that you can dig up anything. I mean, you can kind of dig up, you know, Mary Magdalene, she might have had an affair, da 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 da. This is really just this, and this. Da Vinci Code, go Dan Brown or whatever. Or you can, you can look in this direction too. And I'm just saying, as a believer, I know what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's personal in my life.
Right.
And it doesn't intimidate me. And
right.
I feel like you're trying to start some kind of like weird, like, well, once you find this out, Kara, you might just hang it all up.
No, that's not what I'm thinking at all. In fact, I think you're a lost soul.
Okay. So once again, they're cockamamie stories for idiots, and I'm a lost soul. And that's funny because I don't say any of that stuff about people
no,
that don't
that's
believe.
No, that's not true.
I'm just pointing out
I was
the
just kidding, but what I want to explain to you, okay, is that one thing about religion I have to admit is that it's created a more orderly society. It's given us a lot of great values and family values and social values, and that you can't deny. But I will deny that, I just don't agree that the Bible was written by God. I think it was written by people, and usually many years after these events have happened. And you know, so we'll see. I mean, you should actually start reading this book and see, get some different points
of
view.
Hey, you should actually start reading the Bible. Why don't you read?
I should start reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I've been reading the Bible for
really?
Fucking years.
Really? Because you didn't even know what the Gospels were.
Well, Christianity, I'm not as familiar with it as I am.
Well, if you're
going to
talk about it, maybe read it. There you go.
Yeah,
and why don't you
okay.
read Case for Faith and Case for Christ? You
okay.
might be interested.
All right. We have a phone call here. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Stan Thornton.
Yes, Stan.
Are you supposed to speak to?
Yes, Stan. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
No, I hope I didn't call too early. I knew he said 10:15.
No, no. No, that's fine.
No, we've been talking
about your book already, so we're already in primed to be talking to you. Now, I want you to know that that Kira is a devout Christian, and she's going to give you a run for your money. But
So I just want to let you know,
it's like in the beginning of my book. I'm not even discussing whether there's a God or not.
Right.
That has nothing to do, because there's no way to prove it either way. So
there you go.
I can't say there
isn't. Actually, very smart intro.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, so I'm not saying. In fact, I'm with the Christians, like with the cross and Mojave.
Uh huh.
The guy who's saying that he doesn't want it there should, you know, take a trip somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's been there since I was a kid, and I'm old.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that should be there.
Right. Now, I read about your background. You were an ordained minister in the 90s. Is that true?
Yeah, I decided I wanted to marry people for money because, you know, you get $50 to $100 to marry a couple.
That's
so 15, 20 couples a day, that's a lot of money.
That's pretty good.
That's fine. Yeah. Did you have a good business going?
No, I don't live in Las Vegas, so it didn't work out.
Oh, bummer.
But, not as many people get married here, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people. But
So tell us a little bit about your book, Stan. You wrote the book called Christianity, Myths, and Legends. I started reading this, and I actually liked some of the observations you raised there. And so let's talk a little bit about, like, for example, the story of Genesis. Now, I always felt there's like two versions to it following each other back to back in the Bible. But they are contradictory to each other, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about this, like the order that things happened and so forth.
Well, it's like if you read the first version, which is in the first chapter, it gives you the 6 days, and it starts off with God creating the earth, and then he sits there and he goes, okay, let there be light, and there was light.
Right.
Well, the sun wasn't created until the fourth day.
Right, so where was the light
coming
from?
So you have to ask, where did the light come from?
Right.
And also, when we're talking about creating things, he created the fish and the birds, then the plants. Last thing created was man.
Right.
But in the version which describes the Garden of Eden, he starts off with, there was nothing until he created man, because he couldn't create the plants because there was no man to till the soil.
Right.
So he creates man, he creates the plants. Now he decides that Adam is lonely, so he starts creating animals and letting him name them.
Right.
And then when he decides that the animals aren't enough, that's when he creates Eve.
Right.
And the story goes that he took a rib from Adam and created Eve with it, and that's why men have one less rib than women.
Right.
Which isn't true. We all have 12 ribs.
Right.
So, but I don't know how they miscounted that. I guess they could count ribs back then.
Let me ask you real quick. Do you take everything literal? I mean, do you take the whole Bible as literal? Is that your argument for disproving questioning.
That's what most people tell you. The Bible is the law. They even want to teach creation, the creation according to the Bible, in school as fact. Now, if it's fact, it has to be factual.
Right.
Who teaches the Bible in school, like in the schools, as fact?
Well, what they should probably teach in the school is the Ten Commandments. Whether you believe in God or not, those are a very good moral basis.
Right. And that's what we were talking about before, that, you know, I think there's a lot of things great that came out of religion, you know, such as, you know, social and laws and so forth. So, you know, but you're here to show that actually if you analyze what happened and the stories there, they're inconsistent.
The way to accept the Bible, I think the best way to accept it is, you familiar with Aesop's Fables?
Are you, Kara? Because I'm not. No.
No, I'm not.
Aesop was, back in the ancient times, he wrote a bunch of stories which each story gave a moral.
Right.
And that's how he was teaching his people morals.
Right.
It's basically the same thing. The Bible is a collection of stories that teach morals.
Right. Now, try and address what we were talking about before you called. We were talking about the New Testament and Christ and who wrote most of the books there. Now, you claim that Paul wrote most of the books in the New Testament, right?
It's agreed upon that he wrote at least six of the books. It's still debated that he might have wrote another seven, which makes 13 out of the 27.
Right.
So that's half, just Paul himself. And it's possible he could have written all of them.
Right. Now, how long after Christ died did Paul actually start writing these things?
According to theology, the oldest record of any of the books is between 65 and 100 A.D.
The record of the theologists themselves. But
that's
the Book of Job, right? Is that the Book of Job or Genesis? That's the first recorded.
That's in the New Testament.
The Old Testament
is a little bit older.
It's a lot bit older.
The Old Testament is probably somewhere around 500 or 600 B.C.
Right.
But that predated Judaism. Predated Christianity. That's where Christianity came from.
Right.
Jesus was a Jew who was out preaching, and one of his main things was that he was adamant against organized religion. He believed that people should honor God on their own, locked in a closet, whatever. And to honor him, they created an organized religion in his name.
Right.
It's kind of a backward thing. But the whole thing is that when you read the Bible, you have to understand that the Bible was written for people at a time when they were incapable of abstract concepts.
Right.
They just couldn't understand those. I mean, a child would, as he grew up, he did what his father did. If his father was a shepherd, he was a shepherd. If his father was a blacksmith, he was a blacksmith. That's it. That's how life was in those days. So you had to teach a lesson in a way they could understand. And by telling a story that had the moral at the end, that was a way for the people to understand.
Right.
Well, that's not anything that's a held view among Christians, is that, we say people love going to the movies. There's something intricate about storytelling, and it gets to the heart of a person. Jesus talked in movies. He talked in stories. I mean, that's something that we think, not everything that he said was a literal thing. And I think it's in-house debate among Christians about what's poetic, what's metaphorical, what's symbolic, what's literal. And, you can kind of debate these things till you're blue in the face. Like you said, let there be light, and then 4 days later they said there's the sun.
So, well, that's like when I was a child, preteen, and I had questions, and I'd ask questions in church. And I would get, that's what Jesus said, but that's not what he meant.
Right.
And I'm like,
exactly.
Then why is it written down? That's what he said.
Right.
If he meant something else, he should have said something else.
And how do you know what he meant anyway? Living 2,000 years after he did, how the hell do you know what he meant anyway? So,
I think that there's an area where, some stuff is left gray for a reason, and it's to engage our hearts, engage our minds, and to get us to ask these questions and to have a hunger, to have a thirst, and to, pursue that. And for you, it sounds like you did, and it's just taken you in a different direction. And I don't think that everything's necessarily spelled out to where you – I mean, the biggest component of any religion, for the most part, and specifically, Christianity, is faith. And you and I both know, I mean, you're a very smart man. You can't really debate faith. It's like debating negatives. You can't do it. And so there's a lot of gray area that invites us to explore and causes relationship through faith. And, it doesn't always go that way for a lot of people, too. I mean, some people, it's just never enough. They never have enough evidence. It never hits their heart. It never opens up their spirit. And that's some people's walk, you said, let there be light. And then 4 days later there was light. I mean, as you're saying, I think of it too, as like the whole spirit and the whole, kind of, you know, point of this, of Genesis and talking about it is like, let there be light is so much more than just the physical light. It's the life. It's the existence. It's the breath of God. And let there be light. And then world is being created. And that is from God because it's all singular within him. And so to me, it's like, okay, so 4 days later, there's sun. I just think it's funny how we talk about it so arrogantly because we can't figure it out yet. It's like, to me, it's like the immortal trying to understand the mortal trying to understand the immortal, the finite trying to understand the infinite. And it's like, there's no concept of how small we are on any level. And I think, go for it, you know, debate it all day long and try to figure it out. I think we're supposed to, you know, have a hunger at least to want to know. But it's at the same time, the lack of humility sometimes. I'm not saying you, I'm just talking more the bigger picture. It's like, at the same time, really, did you think you were going to really be able to understand God on all levels and be able to put him in a box and for
but you seem to. Yeah, you are. You're saying it's not literal.
I'm saying, have you considered if it's not literal?
Of course we have.
I'm asking him, Sam, and okay. You're just kind of jumping on like, whoa. I'm asking.
Okay, go ahead.
Happy to let him defend the book for me.
Well, you know, anything that's anti-Christianity, he's kind of down with it immediately.
I'm not anti-Christian because a lot of my friends are Christians. And I don't hold it against them. I just don't want, you know, people coming to me and going, you have to be a Christian.
Well, who wants
because
that?
Because I believe in that. And it's like, so they can believe in what they want.
Right.
You know, as long as they don't, you know, it's like with me. I practice Christmas every year.
Right.
Not lately, I haven't had a tree, but I used to have a tree every year, and we had presents, and we sang Christmas carols, and we ate turkey dinner, and I mean, we celebrated it, except that I told my kids we were celebrating Saturnalia, which is where the practice of Christmas came from.
Whoa.
When Christianity started taking hold in Rome, the Romans' main holiday was Saturnalia. It was a roughly 14-day long celebration to the Roman god Saturn. And when they came in, they go, oh, well, you're really practicing the birth of Christ.
Mm.
Christ wasn't born in December.
We know that.
If you read in the Bible about his birth, he was born in the beginning of the year, up around April, roughly.
Yeah. So why do people celebrate it in December?
They changed it to December to coincide with Saturnalia.
Yeah.
In fact, Christmas is practiced exactly like Saturnalia. There's no change, except it's now Jesus instead of Saturn.
But I think that the thing is, I don't find this very innovative because, and no offense, it's just that this is stuff that Christians even agree with, which is we know that the history behind, you know, celebrating the birth of Christ was they coincided with a pagan religion in order to do it openly in their own way without being persecuted. So it's like we know that a Christmas tree was not, you know, even though it's been kind of evolved into, you know, this is how we celebrate the birth of Christ and it's in our own way. We know historically this is not indicative of the Christian faith. I mean, that's not debate. It's not even a debate. I mean, I think.
For a lot of people it is. It's amazing that, you know, a lot of people, they sit in the pews, and they're told what is in the Bible. I know people who have brand new Bibles and never opened them.
Well,
but they go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you got to read it.
No, yeah. I agree. Actually, really, I really agree with that. I think that there are a lot of people that don't crack it open, don't cross-reference, and they never get deep with it. And I think that that's you know,
yeah.
Sad.
But, you know, I mean, what I think about the book is it opens up discussion, and I think that's the great thing. I don't think you're trying to convince everybody. I think you're essentially, you know, doing your own analysis, and I think it's very healthy to do that. You know, obviously, you know, you're not going to change people of faith's opinion, but I don't think that was your aim in the first place, you know, so.
No, I'm just, it's like I said in the beginning, I'm not even going to try to discuss the existence of a god or any gods. I don't care whose it is. I mean, because the person who believes can't prove that there is one.
Right.
But you can't prove a negative,
right.
So there is absolutely no way to prove there isn't.
Right.
So there's no way to argue the point.
Right. And I don't think it is about arguing whether God exists. I think it's more about the religion itself and, you know, and the book that they adhere to. And, you know, I mean, I've always been a believer. You know, I'm Jewish myself, and I've read the Bible probably several times, not necessarily from a religious perspective, but more in a historical, literal perspective and so forth. And, you know, and I started asking questions, too, because I realized there's inconsistencies there and things that sometimes don't make sense to us and that make us ask, they pose more questions than answers. And, you know, so, I mean, I admire you for taking this on. I know it's controversial and everything, but at least you had something to say. It's an interesting read, and it gets us to think a little
bit. Well, and I respect somebody that takes the time to actually read it and, you know, and they put out what they believe, and it's actually been, they're not just subscribing to, I want to be on the side of the argument. I respect people that are, you know, taking time to form their own opinion, and you know, they've tested and refined it, even if I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? I do respect that. I don't respect the hype of like, oh, this isn't true, and you're just kind of going with it. I don't respect that because that to me isn't solid. But I do what you're doing. I mean, I get it.
But yeah, because he's not saying it's not true. I mean, he actually takes the time and he analyzes different stories from the Bible. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're called to do. I think you're called to engage your brain, ask questions, have a thirst and hunger for something, whether it is for this or for that. It's like you gotta you know, ask the bigger questions in life. And did you grow up around a very heavy Christian background?
Well, I was born into the Mormon Church. I was there for 13 years. My great grandfather was kind of a high mucky muck in the church. He eventually ended up in Salt Lake.
Wow.
He baptized me when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I, you know, we went to church every Sunday. I had, you know, Sunday school where they taught us the Bible. I had what they called primary on Wednesdays where we went into the church, and it was basically a social gathering.
Right.
So I was pretty much in the church, and then I started asking questions.
Right.
And I kept getting, you have to have faith, or the Bible says so, or, you know, and it's like, well, why can't they just answer the question?
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is I noticed, you know, you raised, like, specifically, you raised the question in the book when God creates man, and he says, let us make a man in our own image or something like that, and you're asking who was God talking to. And this is something that I raised a long time ago, because in the Hebrew Bible it does not say us, it says me. So a lot of things get lost in the translation, and I think that's a major problem that Christianity has with the Old Testament, is that things have been you know, translated from one language to the other, and I think many things were lost in the process.
There
were also a lot of Christians who don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe Jesus is God.
Right.
And that's part of the problem, too.
Right.
There's the trilogy is three separate entities. There's God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus.
Right.
They aren't the same person. In fact, the Bible even shows during when Jesus was baptized that God was up in heaven, and the ghost was sitting on his shoulder.
Mm.
So you can't be in three places at once. Even God would have a problem doing that. Mm. And but still, though, you know, they're always praying to Jesus instead of praying to God.
Yeah.
Well, there's
and that's the difference between the Christians and the Jews.
Right.
Is the Jews pray to God Himself.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you read the Bible,
Christians
the Bible
go
says
sideways through it.
The Bible says, you know, Jesus even says, he goes, your Father in heaven basically he knows you more than he knows and loves you so much, you know, he knows what you need before you ask. He's like, we pray in Jesus' name, and Jesus is a side, is a reflection of God, and the humanity that we relate to, and we see him as a deity, as God in one way, shape, or form. But at the same time, it's the Holy Trinity that we believe in. So in the Genesis it says, let us make man in our own image. It's one God, but it's relational. And then you go into like the Tower of Babel. He says again, and I believe it is in the Hebrew, it says, let us go down and confuse their language. And it's not multiple gods. It's one God, but three persons. It's relational. It's beyond our scope of understanding. It does not mean to not ask a question. It doesn't mean to not study. It doesn't mean to not, you know, challenge and try to wrap your brain around it. But we believe as Christians, you know, God, there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, which is kind of what you're saying. But ultimately, we believe it's where your heart is, too. So as a child, let's say you're taught about Jesus and you're taught, you know, the you know, prayer of salvation, and you ask Jesus into your heart. What that means is so greater than the understanding of a child, but there's a simplicity to it as well. So the heart of a child may pray to Jesus, but does that mean it's not going to God? Does that mean God doesn't hear it? Does it mean that, they didn't do it the right way, so God doesn't get it? It's like their heart is searching and seeking for their ultimate creator, their ultimate father. And I think that God doesn't get as hung up on those kind of details. I think that he looks at the heart of man, and he looks at where your motive is, you know? And thank God for that, because who gets it right, you know?
All right. Well, so Stan, final thoughts on that, on what Kira said?
Well, I'm all with her. I mean, you know, she's got her strong beliefs, and it's, you know, it's a good thing she has them, you know? I mean, we have to all believe in something.
Right.
And whether, you know, it's a God or it's ourselves, it's not really that important. It's more important that, you know, we have something to believe in, you know,
right.
Something to hold, you know, a moral fiber to believe in. My moral fibers are a bit stricter than the Ten Commandments, but I consider them a very good beginning point for anybody.
Right. Okay, Stan. Where can people get the book?
Well, it's available at Author House.
Uh-huh.
That's my publisher.
Okay.
You can also go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Pick a Book in England, Tesco in Canada. I mean, it's available just about everywhere.
Sounds good. Okay, and the book again is Christianity, Myths, and Legends by Stanley Thornton. Stanley, thank you so much for your time.
I just want to say I appreciate you, you know, coming on the show. No disrespect. I do love these kind of conversations. And
yeah.
I think that you've got a great heart, and you're somebody that, you know, very open and easy to talk to.
Well, I've definitely enjoyed the company of both of you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Stan, and all the best to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's that. Let me ask you something. I mean, I don't want the whole show to be about this, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion,
sure.
When did the universe begin?
Oh, like carbon copy and dating and stuff like that?
No. I'm talking about when do you believe the world began?
Like in years terms?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How many years ago?
I don't know.
But the Bible does tell you when, right?
Well, there's so many different views on it. I mean, there's so many debates on, like, was Christ 2,000 years ago, or how old is the, like, carbon copy, and then biblical references of time. People debate 24 hours. Is it really our version of 24 hours? Did God really do it in 7 days or 6 days and rest on the seventh?
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of debates among believers in
right.
Christianity. What is it? Is it literal? Is it metaphorical? Is the measurement, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't personally get hung up on it, because it doesn't default what I believe, and it's not a deal breaker for me.
Right.
So there's a lot of people that study that stuff and they
uh-huh.
debate it. Personally, I don't.
Right.
And that's
okay.
So I don't have an answer to give to you on that.
Right. So, but you believe there was a beginning and that there will be an end?
I mean, I think that there's a measurement, you know, of time. And I think that there was a beginning as far as our understanding, or, you know, as much as we can understand.
Right.
And there will be kind of an ending to what we know, but that doesn't mean everything's ended. I think there's a different life after this. And I think that there was possibly, you know, not necessarily our life here, but that, you know,
But I'm not talking about life, Kira. I'm talking about the age of the universe and the way it behaves.
Yeah,
obviously,
I do.
In creationism, they teach you about the beginning and the end, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I believe that God created what we know around us, right? The universe. I believe that even people that aren't necessarily God or Jesus believers or whatever, a lot of people believe in intelligent design. A lot of scientists do.
Uh-huh.
And they just don't know what it is. They just do believe that there's an intelligence behind this, that there's,
right,
there's a force.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And the more you get into science, the more you realize there is
there's something.
A force. Yes.
So even on that kind of level of just very broad, I do believe that what we know around us has an expiration date,
mm-hmm,
for in the way that we know it.
Right.
So do I always believe the trees are going to be the way they are and the atmosphere is going to be the way it is and we're going to operate this way? No, I definitely think that there's a time limit. There's an expiration. The time is a measurement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe like God is outside of time and we're in time.
Right.
So I think that, you know, there's going to be, and you look at, if you go into the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the New Testament, the Bible,
mm-hmm,
and it's all written in, I mean, it's just like, I can't even begin to understand it. It's just so layered. It's very, 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 very symbolic and metaphorical and this, that, and the other. And there's people that study it and study it and study it. And you've got, you know, does this mean this? Does this mean modern day this? You know, you've heard of Mark of the Beast. You've heard of Tribulation, Armageddon, all those terms.
Right.
So there's a lot of, there's a lot written about the end times, what we call the end times.
Right.
And what does that mean spiritually? What does that mean politically? What does that mean even just every day around us, what that's going to look like? And it's a heavy, heavy book. I've read it a few times, and essentially what it means in many ways is that there's going to be an ending to the way we know of things,
right,
but then there's going to be a rebirth.
Right.
Even on Earth, like Earth will be renewed. It'll be restored. But that's a whole different time and era and a different kind of, you know, not necessarily like you and I sitting here, but there'll be like a spiritual and physical combined, mm-hmm, in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
But I mean, do I know?
No, it's hard to have a discussion about things like that with with a religious person.
But
because,
what would you like me to say?
Because every answer is like, well, don't take it literally. God can do this. God can do that. And it's like, you know, so you can't argue anything because those are the answers every time.
I mean, I can't give you, you're asking me for a solid answer on something that you can't even give yourself a solid answer on. So
I don't know, because you seem to have the answers.
I didn't know. Just because I have a confidence in my faith doesn't mean that I've ever claimed to know it all or have, you know, I have a belief and I have a strong faith.
No, we didn't say know it all, but you have answers that are not necessarily logical or in line with the universe the way we know it.
Well, I think you're trying to paint a picture, and you're not even doing a really good job at it, no offense, but of putting me in this category. And I'm just like, I'm making it hard for you because I agree with some of the stuff you're saying. And I also don't have solid answers on certain things that I've never claimed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And nor do you have solid answers.
No, but I mean, you're saying, you know, don't look at it literally. You know, this is
the way.
I think
that if you look at the Bible,
this is what God meant. This
no,
is what
it's
this.
What I said is there's several ways of looking at it, and they're all debatable.
Mm-hmm.
There's metaphorical. There's some stuff that's basic metaphors. There's symbolism. There's poetry, and then there are things that are literal,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, a lot of the Ten Commandments are very literal.
Right.
Then Jesus takes them and he takes them when he comes in and he reintroduces God's law, and he does it on a spiritual level. Like he says, you shall not, he says the Ten Commandments say, you shall not, you know, be an adulterer, right?
Right.
He goes, but I tell you that if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, that's called adultery in your heart, like it's in your spirit.
Right.
And God took it to a deeper level. He says, you shall not commit murder. I say that if you have hate for your brother, you've already killed him in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you can't get away with shit with God, because it's not just what you do, it's what's inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And so that's just a basic, basic example of taking something from a very literal to then even more of a spiritual, metaphorical, like your motives, your intentions, and God looking at that side of things.
Right.
You know?
So you're saying there's consequences to thoughts as well as actions.
Yeah, there may be different kinds of consequences, though.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, in essence, religion is trying to control what you're thinking.
Well, not necessarily.
No?
It's like we believe, you know, and I say we collectively, Christianity believes that, you know, God, you know, you have the Old Testament, which introduces the law. And the law is there to show us our incapabilities. It's to show us God's perfection and his standard is holiness, and we'll never, even in our most perfect day, we're incapable because of our DNA, we're flawed, to be perfect and keep the law perfect.
Right.
And if you live by the law, then you die by the law, because there's no grace, there's no saving. It's all, you know what? You didn't pass the cut. You weren't good enough. Your performance isn't good enough. Jesus comes in and he really illustrates it more, saying, you know what? Even if you were capable of keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly, God looks beyond what we physically do, and he looks at our heart, and he looks at our motives. And guess what? There's not a human being on earth, not even Mother Teresa, that didn't have hate at one point, that didn't ever lie at one point in some way, shape, or form, even in your own heart. And
so then, you're saying it's like a point system. In other words,
not a point system.
It's like if you do this, then you earn a few points. Why? Because it's all about the afterlife, right?
No, I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what I'm
because
illustrating.
There's consequences.
No, I'm illustrating. Okay. I'm illustrating that God's showing our need for God. He's saying, guess what? The Ten Commandments, literally, in your best day, you couldn't keep them. Even in your heart, spiritually, let's say you did keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, which you can't. Even in your heart, I see what goes on in your heart. We're all corrupt. We're all not perfect. And therefore, that illustrates a need for God, a need for saving, a need for grace. And grace is what, it's like they say mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. And we believe, you know, Jesus came and he bridged the gap, and it's like he covers what we can't do.
Right.
And there's a forgiveness and there's a restoration. And the Bible talks about, you know, as far as the east is from the west is how much he forgets our sins and the infinite love that he has for us, and that he doesn't hold our sins against us. You know, when you really ask for forgiveness, and we believe through Jesus, it's like there is a forgiveness. There's a no, like even a no remembrance type of forgiveness, where we're all just in our nature, we're just not ever going to be perfect in this life. And it's no joke. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can, you know, all come to an understanding. Yeah, we're not going to be perfect. I'm going to mess up. And God knows that. He knows in our nature, we're incapable. And that's why he offers a forgiveness that's lavish. He offers a love that we didn't deserve. It's not necessarily because we're good enough to earn it, because we'll never be good enough. He just loves us. Just like you have children and you love your kids.
That's a terrible view on humanity. I got to explain. I got to tell you. You say we're all corrupt. We're all this. We never will. We never this.
It's not that there's not good in us, but guess what? We're not perfect. Are we perfect?
Well, we're not perfect, but that's not what you said.
That's
what I'm
saying. You said
we're corrupt.
There's corruption in all of us.
There is. Well, no.
Think about it.
I don't think so.
No, think about it. You get mad at a traffic light in the past with your kids in the
car.
But
that's not corruption.
No, think about it. It's all just different forms of depravity. It's all forms of, you know, you lose self-control. You get out of your car. You want to start a fight. In your heart, you're angry. You want to see somebody die or whatever. You know, or whatever. None of that's good. It's not good.
Yeah.
But it's like you're human. You're going to mess up. You're going to lose control sometimes. You know?
Okay.
It's like none of us are perfect.
Right.
You can't argue that.
Well, no, I can't argue that.
I can't either.
But I think you're being too harsh on.
I'm talking about it for what it is. I'm actually not talking about it harshly, because I'm saying it's everybody. Like, for example, think about children. You know, one of the arguments is you don't have to teach a child how to not share. A child instinctually knows me, selfish. That's just in their nature. We have to learn how to share. We have to learn how to compromise and give to people. It's just in our nature, you know. It's everyone's nature. I mean, if you're just gonna be honest with yourself and lie, cheating, and stealing, even though we may fight it at times, or we may, we don't really want to be like that, or we deny it and we rise above it, it's still in our nature. It's something that is imperfect that we can't control fully.
Okay.
The fact that it's there.
I don't know why you need so many words to explain all this, but
you asked.
You know.
Yeah.
No, it's because it's nothing here is clear cut, you know.
Why would you ask these kind of questions for a clear cut answer? You know, no one's going to give you a clear cut answer.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Well, maybe you can't, you know, but I think scientists can.
Really?
Yeah.
They can't give you clear cut answers. They don't have full answers on everything.
On everything, no.
Yeah.
No, but they give me a lot of short answers that get to the point. And you like have to describe everything with body language and everything. Which,
oh, God forbid. I'm animated. I'm passionate. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, we didn't want the show to turn to be a Bible study,
well,
but it did.
So you asked.
We talked for the whole 50 minutes, but at least I like this kind of stuff. You know,
well,
I
there
think
you
it's
go.
Interesting
as long as you
and,
like
and
it
that.
And you feel like you're having a good time.
I love religion and science. I think it's great, and I don't think they really contradict each other. But, yeah, I do have a problem with blind faith, but that's me, you know. I mean, what can I tell you?
Well, I love you, Sam, no matter what.
Yeah. By the way, those birds that fell off the sky yesterday,
oh,
they're
yeah?
saying they suffered from massive trauma. I don't know what that means,
what
but they're not really saying, you know, that they're ruling out other causes, but they said that they've suffered an acute physical trauma leading to internal hemorrhage and death.
What happened, you think?
There was no sign of any chronic or infectious disease. Those are, for those of you who didn't listen yesterday, about 5,000 birds just dropped from the sky in Arkansas, and people couldn't understand what the hell was going on. So
they're sweet birds. They didn't do anything to anybody.
Yeah. Okay, well, folks, we got to run out of here. Kira, thank you so much, as always.
No, thank you, Sam.
And Miss Stimulating here, who always gives us something to talk about. So we love you.
I love you.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kira in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.